to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
There's a saying that comes straight out of Scripture. And you've heard it, and we say it often with enthusiasm. That saying is, God is good. And I heard some people say, all the time, right? Isn't that kind of how, that's kind of been a thing, right? For quite a while. Someone says, God is good, and people respond with, all the time. And then somebody comes and says, all the time, God is good, right? We believe that's what the Bible teaches. But is it always true? I was expecting some people to say, yes! But you're used to my trick questions, right? You're used to me asking a question, you give an answer, and I turn it all around. Or perhaps the hesitancy to respond with a yes is because even though we believe that's what the Bible teaches, sometimes it doesn't feel like God is good. Can you relate to that? I mean, even those of us that believe God is good, and we really do believe that God is good all the time, there are times it doesn't feel like it. And the times it doesn't feel like it, it's when there are things going on in our lives, or the lives of people we love, or whatever, and it's like, God, I believe your word says you're good, and you're good all the time, and I want to believe you're being good, but it seems like to me that if you're really good, things would be different right now. I'm just saying it like it is, right? And so those of us perhaps who have been through some things, those of us who cling to God by faith and stand upon His promises, we still declare God is good all the time. And if things don't seem to be good, and they certainly don't feel good, we're just going to trust God in the midst of that. And that's a good sermon all by itself, and that's all biblical truth. And today I'm not going to talk about the times when it doesn't seem like God is being good. Instead, I want to focus on the times when we know that God is good. When we look at our lives, when we look at our circumstances, we've seen what God has done and say, yeah, hallelujah, God is good. Whether it's because of what He's doing right now or because we look back at what He did in the past. But before I go into that theme, very quickly, if you struggle with God's goodness, if you struggle with, man, the Bible says God is good, but it doesn't feel like it, I just want to lay out a couple of thoughts for you, okay? Just things to think about. We've talked about them before, we'll talk about them again. But when we talk about God being good all the time, but it doesn't always feel like it, we got to remember His promise in Romans 8:28. And we preached on this back a couple months ago. That God has promised that He will work all things together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. If you're a child of God because you're trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, God promises that He will bring a good end out of it. Okay? But this implies that often things aren't good. How can God bring good out of bad if things aren't bad sometimes? And things can be bad sometimes because we're in a fallen, sinful world where the enemy has a lot of control and a lot of power. It's not more powerful than God. And even if we're not suffering or going through difficulties because of our own problems, we may be because of somebody else's problems, somebody else's sins. And we also got to keep in mind that our definition and perspective, maybe not definition, but our perspective of good can be a lot different than God's. And when God promises to bring, work all things together for good, it is good from His perspective and not our perspective. And it's also in His timing, not our timing. And we also have to realize that God is more concerned with the end result, which is eternity, than He is with temporary circumstances. Now, those are not just excuses. I would challenge you to think of them in terms of a parent trying to raise a child and making the best decisions possible. And as a parent makes decisions for a child and puts down guidelines and rules and regulations and yes and no and you can't do this and you must do that. That there are many times that their children don't like that and they don't understand that. And that's kind of how it is with us and God. God knows better than we do. So, again, that's not my message. I've preached on it before. I'll preach on it again. But just in case today, you know, I say God is good and you're really struggling with that, I wanted to give you a couple things to think about. As I said, today, we're not going to focus on the times that we struggle with God's goodness. Instead, we're going to focus on the times that we see His goodness. And I want to talk about how we should respond to that. And we're going to find that here in Psalm 105. The title of my message comes out of Psalm 105. And it's just God's wondrous works. God's wondrous works. We're going to read through it in just a moment. But we find that phrase mentioned in verse 2 when it says, tell of His wondrous works. And in verse 5 where it says, remember the wondrous works that God has done. We're not going to read all of Psalm 105. It's quite lengthy. We're only going to look at the beginning of it. But Psalm 105 celebrates God's goodness and celebrates His faithfulness to His people and the way that He works in their lives and in and through their circumstances for their good. But it also tells how His people should respond to His goodness. And I'm praying that God will really use this to challenge us and to encourage us today. And perhaps even change a little bit about how we go through our everyday life. It certainly has me since I started studying this. And I'll tell you more about that a little bit later. But we're going to be looking at Psalm 105. And we're going to read specifically verses 1 through 7. Starting in verse 1. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and the judgments that He uttered. O offspring of Abraham, His servant, children of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God. And we're going to stop right there, right in the middle of verse 7. Two things I want to mention real quick, and then we'll go on beyond them. First of all, who is this psalm addressed to? Well, it says right there in verse 6, O offspring of Abraham, His servant, children of Jacob, His chosen ones. It's talking about God's people. And in the context of this psalm, that is the Israelites. And they're the only ones that are designated God's people at this time in history. But I just want to let you know that all these things apply to us too. When we get to the New Testament, you can read it later in Galatians chapter 3 and Galatians chapter 4. Paul says that now through Jesus Christ, we are the inheritors of the promises and the blessings that God has made to Abraham because we are His spiritual children. So all these things apply to us also. I just want to mention that after all these great exhortations here in the first 6 or 7 verses, you can read the rest of the chapter perhaps later this afternoon or this week. And what the psalmist does, we're not sure if David wrote this psalm or not. We know David was familiar with this psalm because he quoted part of it when he brought the ark into Jerusalem. But anyway, whoever it is, the psalmist goes on from this point to just start recounting all the things that God did for His people. About how He called Abraham and about how He led him through and promised him the promised land, and his descendants ended up going to Egypt, and it was rough for a while, but God delivered them, brought them through the desert, took them into the promised land, all the things that He did along the way. God's wondrous works. But today I want us to focus on the wondrous works that God has done and is doing in our lives and what we believe He's going to do in the future, and specifically, how should we respond to that? You know, in prayer this morning at 9 o'clock, we have a group of people, and you're all welcome to come. If y'all come, we'll have to meet out here instead of in that room. But anyway, we meet together at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning, a group of us, and we pray. And this morning, there were so many concerns. Many of the things that we prayed about this morning, some families of our church, and families associated with the church going through difficult times, going through grieving, going through that. We were talking about a lot of things that we're not going to get into this morning, about our nation and the turmoil that's going on in our nation with various issues and all that kind of thing. And you know, it's so easy sometimes to be so focused on the difficulties. So easy sometimes to be focused on the problems. So easy sometimes to focus on the things that bring us down, that hold us back, that maybe bind us up. And God is encouraging us and He's challenging us to focus on His goodness And we see that in this psalm. So today we're going to be talking about God's wondrous works and our response to God's wondrous works. And there's three things that God emphasizes over and over and over again throughout these 6-7 verses. And he lists all three of them in verse 1. That are, or that should be, our response, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, but our response to God's wondrous works. And the first one, and I gave a P word to each one because it fits, it makes it easier to remember. The first one is praise. Is praise. How does he start this out? He says, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Now, it doesn't say it in this psalm. But many times, over and over and over again, you read in the Psalms and you have that same phrase, but it doesn't stop there. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. There's one psalm in particular where it says that, and then it mentions something good God did. And then it goes back and says it again. Then it mentions another good thing that God did. Then it mentions it again, just over and over and over again. It's meant to be kind of, you know, a reading back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Give thanks to the Lord. We are to praise Him. The word that is used there for give thanks, it means to acknowledge, to praise, to give thanks. And so, one of our responses to God's goodness in our lives is to praise Him and to thank Him. Now, what does the word praise mean? Sometimes we get the idea that when we use the word praise about God, it's different than the way we use the word praise for other people. But it really isn't. It's the exact same thing. If you were to look up the definition of the word praise, it means to express good things about, to express approval or admiration of, to express thanks or love or respect. Now, there are two ways that you can praise someone, including God. You can do it directly to them, or you can do it to somebody else about them. A good illustration is my wife, Pastor Jan. I happen to believe, it's my opinion, there may be others that share that opinion, I believe she's a fantastic wife. I'm very proud of her. I believe she does a great job at all the things that she sets her hands to, involved in ministry and family and other interests and things that she has. And I tell her that on a regular basis. That's praise. But just telling you about it is praise too. See, I tell her personally, but I tell other people. You know, we've had our granddaughters here for the last almost 2 weeks. They're leaving again on Tuesday, and they have been so good. And we've told them that. We told them that personally. Say, you've been so good. You've been so helpful and all this kind of stuff. But we've not just told them that. When we talk to their parents on the phone, we tell their parents that. And I just told you that. So we've praised them. We praised them specifically. We praised them to other people. And I try to do this all the time with you. I'm so proud of all you guys. And especially those of you that you invest so much in our church. And I'm not talking about money. That may be true. I don't know who gives what and how much and all that kind of stuff. But I'm talking about those of you that give of your time and your talents and your energies to minister and to serve. All those who clean and do yard work and those who teach and our leadership. And I try whenever I see someone doing something to say, hey, listen, I so appreciate what you do. I so appreciate your service. I so appreciate what you're doing for the Lord. God loves what you're doing. God's going to bless what you're doing. And I do that one-on-one. I tell our leaders all the time, thank you so much. I so appreciate you. But I'm telling you right now. So I tell them personally. I tell you personally. If you've not heard it from me, just come up and tell me after service, Pastor, you didn't tell me you appreciate me lately, and I will tell you. It might lose a little bit of its luster, but I will tell you, and I will tell you honestly, I do appreciate you. But also telling the whole group of you, that's an aspect of praise. You know, praising God is the same way. Praising God is just thanking God. It's letting Him know how much we love Him, how much we appreciate Him, how much we appreciate everything that He has done, His wondrous works in our lives. But praise also involves telling other people about what God has done. Now, that actually kind of overlaps with my third point, which we'll get to in a little bit. But one of our responses to God's wondrous works is to praise Him. And we see it scattered throughout these 6 verses. He says in verse 2 that we are to sing to Him, sing praises to Him. So the expression of our praise can be more than just words, which we had a phenomenal time this morning during our worship of singing praises. But then when we stopped singing, everybody or most everybody was just expressing vocally their worship to God. And then in verse 3, it says, glory in His holy name and rejoice. Another way to express that praise. And then in verse 5, it says, remember the wondrous works, those miracles, those judgments, the act of remembering, the act of focusing on, the act of, God, I remember what You did. That's an act of praise. We find that we see the same teaching in the New Testament. I'm reminded of the story in Luke chapter 17 where Jesus heals 10 lepers. But the way He heals them, and He says, go and show yourself to the priest, which the priest kind of functioned as a medical examiner. You know, if somebody had leprosy, it was an infectious disease that required people to be separated from everybody else. And if they believed that they were healed, they were to go to the priest so the priest could determine if they were healed or not. If they weren't, they were sent back out in quarantine. But if they were, then they were allowed to go back into society. And when Jesus healed these 10 lepers, it was one of those times He didn't heal them immediately. He just said, go show yourself to the priest. I think He wanted them to take a step of faith. Probably several steps because it was a long way to the priest. But it says, as they were on their way to the priest, they were all 10 healed. But only one came back to thank Jesus. Now, I'm sure they all appreciated what Jesus did. I'm sure they were all grateful that they were healed. But only one of them took the time to go back and thank Jesus. You know what that tells me? That tells me that Jesus and God take note of when we're thankful and of when we're appreciative of what He's done for us. Does that mean He's going to cut off His blessings to us if we don't? We'd like to say no. I don't know. I'm just saying that God appreciates our thanks and our praise. Does He need it? No. I'll be honest with you. I think it does as much for us as it does for Him. It really does. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, Paul gives these real quick, short pieces of advice. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now note that it says give thanks in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. Paul's not trying to tell us that we should be thankful for the bad things that happen in our lives. But what he's saying is that even in the bad things in our lives, even in any circumstance, good, bad, indifferent, there are those things that we can be thankful for. This was illustrated so strongly to me last night. I got a phone call from Lisa. Lisa's here this morning. And she said, Pastor, I'm so sorry for calling you so late, but I wanted to let you know that my mom just passed away. And we talked about that a little bit. I said, was that anticipated? Was that something you kind of expected? Because I didn't remember hearing anything about that she had been sick or had some kind of something that was bringing her to the end or whatever. She says, no, it was totally and completely unexpected. And there's a couple of things that we shared back and forth, and I prayed with her and prayed for her and her family and stuff. But you know what? In the midst of this, between the two of us, we were focused not just on the fact that her mother had passed away and gone to be with the Lord and how difficult that is and how painful that is. And we continue to pray and we'll continue to pray for the family, but that there were some good things. So good things. What good things? Well, there are two of them that we talked about specifically. One was, she says, you know what? I just came back from spending a week with her. That was a good thing. That she had had that week with her mom before God took her mom. Can you imagine if her mom had passed right before her trip? How much there would have been, I wish I could have gone earlier. But she did that. And then I was just telling her about how Pastor Jan and I pray for our parents. And we've talked to our parents about this. They know we pray this way. We pray, God, please keep our parents strong, safe, and healthy, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, in every way until the day You decide to take them home. And we pray specifically, Lord, we would prefer You know, God, your will be done always. God, your will be done. But we would prefer that when you go to take them home, may it be quickly without lingering pain or difficulty or deteriorating mental and physical, whatever, you know. And God did that for Lisa's mom. Of course, it makes it a shock when it happens. And I told her, I said, we pray that way for my parents and for my wife's parents. But if they turn up next week, I mean, if they don't, you know, next week and boom, they're gone. It's like, oh my goodness. It's like, God, we want you to take them before they suffer any whatever, but not this soon. You see what I'm saying? So I'm not making light at all. I'm just saying that in the midst of difficulty, there is good. And I see that in Lisa. That's what Lisa's doing. I'm sure she is mourning and grieving, but yet she's clinging to that good, the good things that God did all through the years and the good things that she can still experience even in the midst of this difficult situation. I tell you what, no matter what you're going through, and I know things get tough, I'm not minimizing the pain, the grief, the difficulty. But if you turn to God and you look for it, God can bring and show good in the midst of it. And that is what God tells us to do. I think that's why God tells us through Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He says, no matter how difficult, if I could paraphrase or apply perhaps what he says here, no matter how difficult it might be, we have the privilege, the responsibility, and God welcomes us into his presence to bring our requests to him. But he also challenges us and encourages us to do that with thanksgiving, to ever be mindful that no matter whatever it is that we're facing, that God has been good to us. There's a lot of things that are good about it. It helps us to focus on the positive. It helps us to realize that there have been other times that things were difficult. God brought us through, and that gives us faith to believe that God can bring us through whatever we're facing right now. And that he can take care of whatever the request is that we're bringing right now, because he's done some things similar to that or something just as difficult before. And can I tell you, we have so much to praise God for. We have so much to praise God for. I know that this message this morning is primarily 100% for believers. And if you're here and you're not a believer in God or you don't have a relationship with God, I hope that you come to have one. God wants a relationship with you. And that's one of the things that we have to rejoice about, that God loved us so much that he took care of the sin problem and we couldn't do anything about it. That God sent Jesus to die for us, and he set us free from our sins as we turn to him, put our faith in him, our trust in him, and ask him to forgive us because of what Jesus did. You know, whatever you might be struggling with in life, if you've done that, you've got so much to praise God for. You are sitting here this morning, free from sin, free from guilt, free from shame, free from condemnation. If God did nothing else, we could praise him forever. But he has done so much else. I know I can look back on my own life, times that were so tough. And I'm not going to share any examples I've done in other sermons. Times that were so tough. And it's like, God, where are you at? And why aren't you doing what I want you and need you to do? And I look back now and I see God had a plan and a purpose. And I can actually thank God for those times. Not because I enjoyed them. Not because I, you know, in spite of the fact I wish they were different, but because I see that there are good things that came out of it. If you do go back and read the rest of the Psalm today, you'll find that it talks about times that God provided for his people and he protected his people, but it also talks about times where God deliberately led them through difficult circumstances as a nation, and it mentions Joseph in particular because God had an end result that it required them to go through that to receive the good end result. I hope that you can look back on your own life and see where maybe there was a time that things got really tough, things got really difficult, but God had a plan and purpose and he brought good out of it. Because when you can look back and see that, it makes it a little bit easier when you go through a difficulty now. Because you say, God, I'm just going to trust you. I don't understand it. I don't like it. I wish it would go away. I wish you'd change it. But if you choose not to, I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to believe that one day I'm going to look back and say, God, you were with me. You took care of me and you brought about good. So I'm going to praise you now by faith. And so in light of God's wondrous works, we should praise. Second of all, we should also pray. We should also pray. The very next phrase in verse 1, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, call upon his name. It's talking about communicating with God. It's talking about praying. God's name represents his presence and his authority. And so calling on God's name is praying and seeking God. In fact, I like that phrase, seeking God. That was mentioned earlier in our worship. There's so many promises in God's word. I didn't even include any in my notes. And you do a search in a Bible program and you'll find a bunch of so many places where God says, seek me. And if you seek me, you will find me. It's a promise. We need to pray. We need to call upon his name. We need to seek him. And seeking God is not only a privilege, but it's something God encourages us to do. Again, these three things he gives us in the first verse, they're sprinkled all throughout the first 6-7 verses. In this case, in verse 3, he talks about those who seek the Lord. He says, those who seek the Lord should glory in his holy name and they should rejoice. The implication being that if you seek God, you're going to hear back from him. And then in verse 4, he gives us some very specific instructions. He says, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his presence continually. Now, what does this word seek mean? I'm using a bunch of definitions today. I think most of us know what the word seek means because we played hide and seek. And we often think of seek in the terms of hide and seek like something's hidden and we have to look for it. But is this implying that God is hiding from us? Here, a bunch of people say, no, shaking their head. If that's the case, then what does it mean to seek God? The word seek means to attempt to find something. But yet we know that God's word tells us that he's always with us. But can I tell you the reason God tells us, and this just came to me, this wording of it anyway, I understood the concept, and I'm sure you get this too. The reason God tells us to seek him is not because he's not always with him, but because we're not always with him. Not because he isn't, oh, I messed that one all up. Let me start it all over. I believe the reason God tells us to seek him is not because he isn't always with us, but because we aren't always with him. And what I mean by that is with him. We can go through life and God's presence is everywhere. We're in God's presence, but we don't even recognize it. We're not even aware of it. We're not even focused on it. I believe that God's instruction to us to seek him is not so much because he's hiding from us, but because we need to be focused on him. We need to be aware of his presence. He says here, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. As I said, verse 4 gives us some very specific instructions here. He says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. A couple of things I want to draw out here is that we seek the Lord for his strength all the time. His strength, his power, his abilities, his miracles. You know, when we have a need, God, please work in my circumstance. Lord, please heal my body. Lord, please help me with my finances. Lord, please provide. Lord, work in my marriage. Lord, touch my children. Whatever those needs are, we seek God for his power. We seek God for his strength. And thank God that he allows that and he even encourages that. He says in Hebrews, and I didn't write that one down either, he says that because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, we have the privilege and the invitation to come into the very throne room of God, into the very presence of God, to find help in time of need. That's great. But we don't need to stop there. And I'm glad the psalmist doesn't. He says, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his presence. You see, we need to not only seek God for what he can give to us, but we need to seek him for our relationship with him. We need to seek God not just for what he can give us, but to seek God for who he is, to get to know him, to develop a relationship with him. I heard this statement years ago, and I love it. And that is this: seek God's face, not just His hand. The Bible often talks about seeking God's face. That's a poetic way of saying seeking God's presence, entering God's presence, being in relationship with Him. And we need to seek God's face, not just His hand. In other words, to know God, not just to receive what He can give us and what He can do for us. So as we think of God's wondrous works, the things that He's done in our life, we praise Him. We thank Him, but we also pray. It should encourage us, challenge us to continue to come into His presence, not only to ask for more of what we need, which is our privilege, but also to get to know Him better. We see this teaching in the New Testament also. Jesus said a lot about it. I'm just going to read one passage in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. He says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." And in the original language, it has this idea of persistence. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Not because God is reluctant, but because sometimes it takes a while for everything to work out. And God's got a plan and purpose. He's bringing all together. So He says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil," basically saying you got sin in your life, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" Going back to a passage we quoted earlier, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Again, these short encouragements from God through Paul. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that you go around muttering to yourself or to God all the time. It just means go through life aware of His presence in communion and communication with Him. And as we go back to what we looked at in Psalm 105, verse 4, notice how it ended. It says, "Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His presence continually." I tell you what, I'm not there yet. And I don't know if I'll get there totally till I get to heaven, but I look forward to the day that as I go through life every single day, I'm constantly aware of God's presence, not in the sense of, "God, you're looking over my shoulder, I better straighten up and be good." But just always aware of the fact that God is with me. And He sees ahead of me. He knows exactly what I'm going to face this day, and He's already prepared it and me for it, and He's going to help me through it. And in His presence continue also the sense of relating to Him and talking to Him about everything. That's our goal. I'm a whole lot better at that than I used to be, but I'm not where I need to be, where I want to be yet. But that's what's being exhorted to us here. To be in His presence, to seek His presence continually. So in light of God's wondrous works, we should praise, we should pray, and then we should also proclaim. Proclaim. Look at verse 1 again. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples." Proclaim. Tell others about who God is and what He has done. Again, we find this exhortation sprinkled throughout this passage. In verse 2, it says, "Tell of all His wondrous works." Verse 5, "Remember the wondrous works that He's done, all the miracles." And as I mentioned, if you read the rest of the Psalm, verses 7 to 45, it talks about God's wondrous works in relation to His people in the Old Testament. His covenant with Abraham, His guidance and protection in Egypt, their deliverance from Egypt, and His help through the desert and obtaining the promised land. And all along the way, how God was there to guide them, to protect them, to provide for them, to bless them, and to test them, as I mentioned earlier. We see the same thing in the New Testament. When Jesus came and accomplished His plan, the Father's plan, both of their plan, He died upon the cross to pay the price for our sins. After that event, and Jesus was buried and then rose again, and He met with His disciples before He ascended into heaven, He said in many different contexts and many different statements that are worded differently, but all say the same thing: go and tell. Go and tell. Go and tell about God's goodness. Go and tell what I've accomplished. Again, I'm paraphrasing the thought that is there. Go and take this gospel. Go and take this good news that there is salvation from sin through what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. Go and take it to everybody. We need to proclaim. When we get into the next book, in the book of Acts, after those four stories of Jesus' life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see how the early believers took that very seriously. And empowered by the Holy Spirit, they went into their world and began to preach the gospel, began to share with family members and friends and every opportunity the goodness of God in providing salvation through Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, because God has been so good to us, we need to rejoice in that. We need to praise Him. We need to thank Him. It should encourage us to continue to seek Him and draw close to Him and look to Him for what we need. But it should also encourage and challenge us to let everybody know how good God is. Another saying, I've accumulated a number of little sayings that have impacted my life that I think is really great. I think it was the theme for Youth with a Mission, an organization, young people going to reach the world. But I've seen it in many, many different contexts. And that is that our goal in life should be to know Christ and to make Him known. If you want to summarize what could be our greatest passion, it is to know Jesus Christ and to make Him known. To make Him known. Now we look at these three things. Our response to God's goodness in our lives. Praise, pray, proclaim. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. These things are so intertwined. They're so interrelated. It'd be very difficult to pull one out and keep it totally separate from the others. Because as you begin to praise God, it becomes a testimony to others. As you begin to thank God for what He's done, it begins to motivate you to say, God, keep doing it. Do it again. In fact, the very act of praising is an act of seeking God. So it's all tied together. As we seek God, a very important part of that is to thank Him. We don't just come into His presence rushing in to give Him our list, our grocery list of all the things He wants us to do. Say, goodbye, God. But it's to develop a relationship. And it's as we develop that relationship and that communication with Him through prayer that God begins to deal with our hearts, say, you know what? There are so many other people that need to have this same relationship. And proclaiming, making known His deeds among the people. Again, it's an act of praise. Look at what God's done. He can do it in your life too. All you got to do is seek His face. You see, the seeking, the praying comes in there also. Can I tell you that we could build a lifestyle just on these three things? You know, I've never looked at it in this perspective before, but as I was studying it this last week, I just began to put this into practice. Over the last several days, I haven't thought of it 24/7. I've got to be honest with you. But there were many times I go to do something, and I begin to think about these three things. I'll just give you one example. Yesterday, I went down to a local restaurant. We've mentioned to you before that my wife and I are chaplains there. And I decided to put what I was learning and what I was meditating on and everything for this sermon into practice. And on my way to that restaurant, I was just doing these three things. I said, Lord, thank You. I was praising Him. I was thanking Him. So, Lord, thank You that I had the opportunity to be the chaplain for this local restaurant. I thank You that over the last about a year and 4 or 5 months or so, you know, You have helped me and my wife develop relationships with these people. I thank You for what You've done. I thank You for their good food. I thank You that we've been able to get close to a lot of people and help people in difficult times and pray with people right there in a public restaurant. We've been able to pray with people and be invited to, not just allowed to, invited to. But I just thanking Him. And then I began the seeking part. I said, and so God, today, as I go there, would You use me somehow? Would You guide my conversations? Would You help me to recognize who in particular I might be able to minister to and that kind of thing? And then I moved on to the third part. And Lord, help me to always be ready to tell how good You are. Not in the sense of greeting someone in the restaurant and saying, God's good. But in the sense of being willing to give a testimony about how God has worked in my life. And how He's at work in our church. And how He wants to work in their lives. You know, you could apply this to just about any circumstance you might face. As you look at that circumstance, look at these three things. How do I approach this with praise? What can I praise God for? Because of this or in spite of this? What do I need to pray about? What do I need to seek God about in this? As far as I need his intervention, but also in the sense that he can draw me closer to him through this. And then what can I draw out of this situation that I can then share with others about God's goodness? Or how can I, in this circumstance, share God's goodness with others? You know, if we were to ignore all the rest of the different exhortations of Scripture, which we shouldn't do, and just say, I want to live out these three things for the rest of my life in every circumstance I find it, we would do pretty good. I really believe that. And I think it's one of the reasons why God had the psalmist put this in here. Praise. Give thanks to the Lord. Pray. Call upon his name. Proclaim. Make known his deeds among the peoples. As I wrap this up, I just want to say there's another application I just want to mention. We've mentioned several times this morning in our announcements, in our worship, and before I started to preach about how we got these special services coming up in about 2 weeks. We're calling them a fresh outpouring. And I just want to challenge you to apply this to every area of your life, but to really apply this to our looking forward to these special services in 2 weeks. First of all, to praise God. God, I thank you that it's not just during special services that we experience your presence. And I'm so thankful for that too. You know, some churches schedule a revival or special series of services because they need to be resurrected from the dead. I've felt that way sometimes, you know. But there's such a wonderful sense of God's presence whenever we meet together. And some days, like today, it's even stronger than others. And I'm so thankful that we experience God's presence in that way on a regular basis. And so as we look forward in 2 weeks, we thank God that we're not asking for something we don't usually get. We're just asking for more of what we experience. And then we pray. We seek God. God, pour out your Spirit. God, use this time that we have set aside, we believe, at your instruction so that this can happen. And God, would you just do it? Would you refresh us? Would you empower us? Would you heal people that are sick? Would you set people free that are in bondage? Would you do miracles? Would you save people? Would you bring people in? Would you help us to have the guts and the boldness to invite people to come? And then we proclaim. We tell people, hey, God's been doing some great things in our church. We believe God wants to do great things in your life. Would you want to come with me? We got these special services. We don't know what God's going to do, but we're praying that God does something special. We think there's going to be some good music. We got a guy come in that's going to preach. We think he's going to do a great job, but we would really like you to come because God has been good in our lives and God has been good in our church, and we want to invite you to come. So there's a very practical application of the message today, just in the event we've got coming up in 2 weeks. But as I encourage you and challenge you to try to incorporate these things. And some of you are probably doing all these things or some of these things already because they're so basic. But incorporate them into your everyday life. I really believe it's not a key to success. It's not a key to prosperity. It's not a key to getting greater things from God. But I believe that if we would live this way, we would see God do more and we would recognize God doing more. Let's all stand together. I want to say a prayer over us, and we're going to conclude our service today by singing songs that we sang earlier. How great is our God and how great thou art. Because I want to give you an opportunity to apply this before we even leave. We've had a great time of worship earlier in our service this morning. I want us to conclude with a great time of worship too. Let me pray, we'll sing, and then I'll conclude in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, many times our messages, our Bible studies are about how to deal with crises, how to deal with struggles. They give us instruction for our marriages and our finances and our other relationships and other situations of life. They teach us about how to grow into better people, how to become more like you, how to become more like Jesus. All those are important topics. But we probably don't take near as much time as we should to just focus on how we can just love you more. How we can grow closer to you, how can we can relate better to you, how we can give you the praise and the glory and the honor that you deserve directly to you, but also by telling of your goodness to others. Father, I pray that the thoughts that I've shared from your word today would stick with us. I pray you'd motivate us to go back and reread that, Lord. Maybe read the whole psalm and go over it and really make an effort to incorporate these things into our daily lives and every situation we face. And Father, we thank you for that. God, now as we wrap up our time together with you, we just want to praise you. We just want to worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.